Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good Monday afternoon, everyone. It's great to have you with us. Kevin Hurd done gallivanting all over America. And now Kevin's locked into the show. Good news. Say good afternoon, Kevin.
Good afternoon. Sorry, I'm
wonderful.
I'm still filling out my bracket here.
You're still filling out your bracket.
Yeah. I'm still analyzing and evaluating. And
by the way, John Thomas, who for years was the strength and conditioning coach here at Penn State, has landed a new job. He's on Georgia's staff. All right.
Okay.
Of course, I'm getting massive amounts of feedback here, but that's okay.
We'll get that fixed in a minute.
Yeah. The heck with me trying to work through it. Sure.
You should be fixed now, actually.
I'm fixed. Yes. So now the tournament is set. Kevin has Iona in the Final Four.
That was a joke. You know, that's the only one Joe missed.
Yeah, I know.
But then again, everybody else did too. So,
except for the committee, they caught that. Yeah. The team I would have knocked out was BYU for Drexel. That was it. It's the only one. And what's interesting is a lot of people talked about Washington, and Washington is the number one seed in the NIT. If St. Bonaventure had not won yesterday, that would have freed up one more at-large spot, and that would have forced a vote. And there were six schools being considered for the vote. Washington was not one of them.
Well, now, how does that vote work? Because I've heard that discussed before. Explain that to me. How's that process? I mean, is there something special with it? Or
yeah, they put each team up on the board and they say in or out.
Oh, okay. And really scientific, yeah.
Well, no, they put each one up on the board in or out. And, okay, whomever gets the most... You know, then they kind of like, nah, okay, they got the fewest, they knocked them out. Okay, in or out, same thing. And they finally get it down to two teams, and they pick one or two. Penn State was in that position in 2009. Penn State and San Diego State were the last two out in 2009. And the only reason I know this is that I saw C.M. Newton at Madison Square Garden. And he said the most difficult part for them when it came to seeding and so forth was that they had 30 of the 32 teams set and they couldn't get the NCAA to release the last two teams. They finally released San Diego State and Penn State. They were the last two teams out. San Diego State ended up being a one seed. Penn State was a two with Florida being a one. Penn State went to Florida one.
What's your favorite region right now?
My favorite? I don't have a favorite region.
No, I mean based on the way everybody placed, what do you think is going to be the most interesting region?
East.
You know, I didn't think the tournament did a bad job of placing everybody in the regions correctly.
They seeded fine.
I mean, usually there's one team that doesn't belong, that's like way out of line. I mean, I suppose, you know, LIU Brooklyn would be one of those in the West, but I mean, that's what happens when you're a 16.
What do you mean they get squeezed?
No. I mean, geographically. That's what I'm talking about. Geographically placed.
That doesn't matter. Penn State played Temple last year in Tucson.
Right.
I mean, the game probably should have been in Washington. Well, I have to get that game, the Penn State Temple game should have been at the Verizon Center.
The only one I saw that I thought was questionable in how they matched it up was Gonzaga, West Virginia, with the game being played in Pittsburgh. mean, that's obviously a lot closer to the number 10 seed West Virginia than it is Gonzaga. And I don't know how much that how much weight that carries.
It doesn't. But. They're just trying to get as many teams as close to home as possible. Because they know in the first two rounds, that's where they're going to get fans to go. Okay? There's no place out west to put them, right? I don't think. I don't think there's any place to put Gonzaga.
Let's see. They'd be a 7 seed. Well, they could flop Florida, maybe.
Well, you got Albuquerque, Nashville, Greensboro, Columbus, Omaha. Portland, I guess, is the closest. They could have put them in Portland, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, because otherwise, you know, like I said, they could have flopped Florida, but Florida would be playing then.
Yeah,
that's the Omaha game, so that...
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Put them in Pittsburgh.
And I think Gonzaga's probably... I mean,
Robert Sacre is a fine player. It'll be a tough matchup. West Virginia is a young team. West Virginia is playing 5 freshmen. Now, Jones is having a great year, 20 points a game. But they're playing 5 freshmen, and that's where the inexperience comes into play.
Gonzaga's also probably one of those teams that people would recognize in the East better than some others because of their how well they've done in the past, in past years. So,
right. Well, they're not going to draw. Believe me, people are not going to sit here in this part of the country and go, you see Gonzaga's in Pittsburgh? Yeah, well, I know. It doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. In fact, who is in Pittsburgh? Because Dick's going. By the way, Dick Girardi will be on the show tomorrow. Jeff Byers on the NCAA Wrestling Championships later in the week. And also Brian Tripp once we get the Lady Lions seed set. So we do have guests coming up this week to talk about the respective championships and tournaments. So we're all set to go. And we know that Bucknell plays at Tucson against Arizona on Wednesday night at 9 o'clock in the opening round of the NIT as an 8 seed.
It would be really nice if Arizona got depressed because they didn't make the NCAA tournament and then didn't play the first game.
Syracuse, UNC Asheville, Kansas State, Southern Mississippi, and West Virginia, Gonzaga.
Yeah, you're doing the Pittsburgh games, yeah.
Yeah.
Ohio State, Loyola.
And Ohio State and Loyola. Right?
Yep.
They can't put Ohio State at Nationwide. It may be a different arena, but they can't put them in Columbus. They're not allowed to.
Well, that makes sense.
Well, no, that's a rule. They can't.
Well, no, I mean, the rule makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes complete sense why they have a rule.
I was talking to Kirk Kanasky, played the final game of his career in the NCAA tournament when he was at LaSalle. They played at Purdue with Joe Barry Carroll. Because that's the way the tournament used to be. You play on home floors.
That's interesting.
In the first two rounds. His career ended in West Lafayette. Every time Penn State played there, we kidded him about it.
I'm sure.
Why? Because that's the way we are.
Because you can. Is there of the first round games? What do you see as being the most interesting of the first rounds?
Potato Skins at Damon's.
I mean, Vermont. I was watching them the other day.
There are 16.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, you get the best game of the bunch. Then is California, South Florida, a pair of 12s. If you go by the seeding.
No, that game isn't. It's the second round that really I look at. Opening round games, let's see. Duke plays Lehigh. Duke-Lehigh is interesting because of McCollum. Let's see. Wichita State against VCU should be a heck of a game. You have a great defensive team in VCU, all right? That forces turnovers by the buckloads. I mean, you're talking about, 17, 18 turnovers a game? And Wichita State flies up and down the court. I mean, they want to run, gun, they want to shoot, they want to take threes. They're a good-looking team, Greg Marshall has. They won the NIT last year, so they're used to winning. They're 13th in the nation in shooting percentage of 48%. That's one. Indiana, I think New Mexico State's a really good one. I think Iowa State, UConn's one that's really interesting. That's just in the one region. Let's see. Now, Marquette ends up with either BYU or Iona. I'm not sold on Marquette. Louisville gets Davidson. Okay. Murray State gets Colorado State. That should be a great game. Looking forward to that game very much. St. Louis, Memphis. You're talking about polar opposites. Memphis wants to run. St. Louis wants to play defense. All right. Let's see. What else do we have here? Wisconsin, Montana, didn't light me up.
It's funny, the only team to...
Vanderbilt, Harvard. Okay, the single most cerebral game of the opening round.
It's funny, though, the only team to beat Murray State is in the NIT.
Right.
It's just funny how that works, you know.
Well, that's the conference they're in.
Right, right. No, I understand. It's funny how that ends up.
Not sold on Cincinnati at all. They play Texas. Kansas State, Southern Mississippi have no intrigue there. Let's see. Oh, I know. Here's one. Here's a really good one.
All right.
See how good you are.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And I think it's one of the more intriguing matchups of the opening round. Okay. But I like, actually, there's a couple of them. I like St. Mary's and Purdue's a really good one, the 7-10.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Georgetown, Belmont.
I saw Belmont a couple of Saturdays ago. They moved the ball quite well.
Quite well. They win. you have to understand.
They moved the ball quite well.
But you've got to understand this. You're talking about they've won 14 games in a row, and they are facing a Georgetown team that, while being talented, has never, under John Thompson III, they haven't made deep runs.
Would you use the term underachieve?
They just haven't made deep runs.
That's a tough one to pick, though, a 14 over a 3, though.
Belmont has won 14 in a row. Never, never discount success. Last year I watched San Diego State play Northern Colorado in the opening round. Okay, Northern Colorado, I believe, had never been to the NCAA tournament. But they won the Big Sky. And like Bucknell, when you are a one-bid conference, and I talked to Patrick Chambers about this on the show Tuesday night, the pressure you are under to win is incredible. Thus, when you get to the tournament, you are absolutely mentally tested to get there. You may not be as talented as the other guy, but because you've gone through the mental grind of winning in a one-bid conference, and you're a little bit higher than the UNC Asheville's of the world, okay, in terms of the talent level, and these guys have been to the NCAAs. I watched Belmont play Wisconsin last year. They played Wisconsin pretty tough for a period of time. That's one that bears watching. They've won 14 in a row. The Belmont kids are not sitting at the press conference thinking, it's great to be here. They aren't. They are not sitting there thinking, wow, it's so neat we're here.
The lights are bright.
Right. They're sitting there going, been here before, done this, know the routine, here we go. There's going to be an open practice. There's going to be a press conference. Right. Okay, what do we have to do to beat Georgetown? That's what they're talking about. That's what they're thinking. And they won 14 in a row. Okay? They haven't lost in 2 months. Georgetown just lost. One team's coming in on a 14-game winning streak. The other one's coming in on a losing streak.
Belmont hasn't played in, about 2 weeks? Does that make a big difference?
It does. It does make a difference.
You can get everybody healthy. That's the good thing.
Yeah, they're rested, which helps. But they score points. They are fourth in the nation in scoring at 82 a game. Going against a team that plays great defense, Georgetown, 38% from the field defensively, 27% from the field from the arc. So there's your contrast by right there. Which one can dictate its style in the game? Can Belmont get the shots in their game that they've been getting to get 81 points a game against a team defensively that'll be the best defensive team they've played in months? But again, Georgetown has not had a lot of tournament success. They're coming off an unsuccessful game, losing in the Big East tournament, against a team that has experienced nothing but success for 2 months.
I'm just looking here in the West. Is there really anybody that Michigan State's going to stumble against?
I mean, before they get to the round. I mean, Missouri, I think Missouri's going to be the team to come out of there.
Yeah, well, that puts them in the region finals. But, I mean, that's really good setup for Michigan State right now, the way the West region came together.
Yeah, it is, because the Louisville, New Mexico is a 4-5. Memphis, St. Louis is an 8-9. And then, of course, Long Island. Of course, I've seen Long Island play in person. Julian Boyd's a heck of a player. Long Island's not a deep team. They play five guys. I believe better than 90% of their points are from the five starters. Those five starters were together in 32 of the 33 games they played this year. Olasaware is really good. Boyd's really good. I mean, so they'll give Michigan State some fits. Second year in a row, they've been to the NCAAs. They actually gave North Carolina a long, hard run in last year's game. They played North Carolina really well for a long period of time before North Carolina finally beat them. So this group, Julian Boyd, Olasaware, C.J. Garner, they're used to some success. 2 years in a row, they've won their tournament. Second time going to the NCAAs, won't be awed by the lights. How they match up with Michigan State, they have no matchup for Green. None. And they'll put Payne on Boyd. Payne will take Boyd. That will keep Green away from foul trouble. Without Brandon Dawson, Brandon Kearney has stepped up and played really well. Have to give him a lot of credit. Wood, the Valpo transfer, the Robert Wilson of basketball. I graduated. I still have 1 year left. Ah, oh, great. Well, it's come on over. Join us. See how it's going. All right, shot well, but Austin Thornton and Payne have been the two difference makers for them. Appling is playing at a very high level. Best I've seen him in 2 years. Green, easy vote for me as Big Ten Player of the Year. By the way, I got my Wooden Award ballot today. And we'll let the fans vote on who they think the National Player of the Year should be. How about that?
That'll be another poll. We have a couple of polls that are running right now, so we'll get into that a little bit later.
Yeah, the analyst poll up?
Well, we're working on that one actually right now.
Oh, come on. Well, yet all weekend.
Listen, we were analyzing everything all weekend. You know, we were doing a little high school games, then looking at college games all weekend. It was just, you know, we were focused on a lot of things this weekend.
And also, what about the football situation there?
We're talking a little bit about that. I mean, it's not uncommon to have a coach not be renewed. I mean, high school contracts are year to year, so you know it's not unusual to have one come up. I mean, but the thing that always comes out is it because of some of the controversy that's been going around? School board says no, but you have to wonder if that had something to do with it.
Who knows?
Somebody does, that's for sure.
Let's see. Poll questions here. Let's see.
Well, the one that we had.
Which
up
one
for the
is
weekend?
More exciting, right? NCAA or championship week? I see that. Yeah, NCAA was 87%.
Correct.
Let's see. Sarah Bartlett or Kevin Hurst? Sarah got 70. Okay, that didn't go well for you.
Nah. We should take that one off.
No, that's still garnering votes, and yeah, and then the announcer thing.
Yeah, that one's going on here in the next few minutes, so you should have that one shortly.
Favorite analysts, college basketball, Dick Vitale, Clark Kellogg, Bill Raftery.
Let me know if I missed anybody in that list.
Dick Girardi.
I have to put Dick Girardi on the list.
You have to put Girardi on.
Or he won't come on the show.
No, because I'll be honest with you. Of all the guys listed there, he's better than they are. He's better.
Oh, but you're not biased in any way.
Well, no, but he's better. But he's okay.
I'm not saying he's not.
No, he's better. Okay. All right. Let's talk about how he looks at the game. All right. One of the key things in any game is possessions. And especially when you get the four minutes to go in the game. How many possessions are left and how do you convert into possessions? Which one of those guys ever talks about that?
Clark Kellogg.
Never.
I'm just kidding.
Not one of them. They wouldn't know how many possessions were left for 4 minutes to go based on the pace of the game. You have to be in tune with what's going on. Right?
Yeah, I didn't have them on the original list. That was an oversight, so we'll get that one fixed.
Pace of the game, things like that. You know, prejudice. Now, am I prejudicial? Sure, he's my guy. But at the same time, he says things I hear nobody else say. Jack says, you know, people say I'm prejudiced, but Jack's the best analyst in football. He says things I never hear anybody else say. Okay? Now, I know it's a show, so you have to do some showy things. All right? And it's entertainment, so you have to do some entertaining things. But what's the content? Too many people are saying the same things over and over again, and not every game's the same. Every game takes on its own personality. Every one of them does. Well, we'll come back with more in a few moments as we continue.
They're two of the hottest-selling vehicles on the market today. The 2012 Chevy Cruze and Chevy Equinox. And Regester Chevrolet has them. The Cruze gets up to 38 miles per gallon highway, comes with 10 airbags, and has a 5-star crash rating. Regester has 25 Cruzes available. Stop by today for a test drive. Regester also has 24 Equinoxes in stock. This all-wheel drive sport utility is a top safety pick, getting up to 31 miles per gallon highway with ample seating for 5 and the versatility to go around town, to the mountains, or to the shore on vacation. Chevy Cruze and Chevy Equinox. Get them while they're hot at Regester Chevrolet on Main Street, Thompsontown. Open weekdays till 9, Saturday 8 to 4. On the web at RegesterChevrolet.com. If you're shopping for a new truck, March is truck month at Regester's with 48 Chevy Silverado extended cabs and crew cabs in stock with savings, discounts, and trade-in bonus totaling up to $6,000.
Front Street Station in Northumberland invites you to have a shamrock of a good time with their St. Patrick's Day weekend parties. On Friday, March 16th, behold the luck of the Irish with live entertainment from Jamie O'Brien and the Lonnie's Band. At Front Street Station, you can enjoy the deluxe Irish buffet and the band for only $15 per person. If you just want to party with the band, it's only a $5 cover. Buffet starts at 5:30, entertainment starts at 6. Then come back to Front Street Station in Northumberland on Saturday, March 17th to see Jamie O'Brien rock out the Irish tunes in the main dining room and take advantage of Front Street Station's traditional Irish dinner special, plus regular dinner menu. This year, celebrate St. Patrick's Day the right way with not one, but 2 days at Front Street Station in Northumberland. For reserved seating, call Front Street Station at 473-3626. St. Patrick's Day weekend parties with Jamie O'Brien and the Lonnie's Band Friday, March 16th, and then Jamie O'Brien playing more Irish music on Saturday, March 17th at Front Street Station, number 2 Front Street in Northumberland, a railroad eatery.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show being brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, online at purdyinsurance.com. Purdy Insurance, thanks a lot for sponsoring today's show. We appreciate that very, very much. Means Kevin can eat for another week. Remember, there are four critical words, Kevin, I want you to remember.
All right.
Move more, eat less.
I'm working on that. I went out for a nice little walk yesterday, enjoyed the nice weather.
Let me guess. You walked to McDonald's.
Close, I walked to Rita's. But anyway.
Well done. Well done. Well, NCAA tournament. Let's get everybody's thoughts. I mean, you've heard us ramble on and talk about this. Let's hear what you think. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. Bucknell got ripped off in the NIT. An 8 seed? Are you kidding me?
I just felt that way.
An 8 seed playing at number 1 Arizona, which, by the way, is a winnable game for Bucknell. That's fine. I thought Bucknell would be on the 4 or 5 line.
Well, could it be because they lost to Lehigh twice in the season and then once in the season and once in the tournament?
Oh,
is that why they got no respect there?
No.
I'm just trying to find a reason.
Whatever they say, Kevin, all deals with how many people can they get in the seats.
Well, that's true.
All right, that's what it deals with. I've been on the NIT before. It's a great tournament. I'm not a fan of the CBI. I am not a fan of the CIT. Either one. 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. I want to hear from you. It's NCAA tournament time. It's fun time. It's good time. So let's get the phone lines rolling here and hear from people and get their thoughts on the tournament and what's going on.
Do you know Thursday?
Let's give Purdy Insurance a show on Market Street in Sunbury.
Do you know Thursday and Friday are the two least productive work days of the year? Typically.
I believe it.
Because everybody's logged in or checking their brackets or whatever.
But you know what? I'm sick and tired of hearing stuff like that for this particular reason. And I think you make a great point. I'm not putting out your point, Kevin. Guess what? It's okay to have fun.
Well, right? As long as you're productive.
Okay. You know, if you get your job done, fine. All right? If you're way behind in your work, then you shouldn't be watching the NCAA tournament. If you're going along, fine. Enjoy it. Have a good time. Life isn't that serious.
Now, I want you to remember that on Thursday when you say something and I don't respond because I'm watching the game.
No, I consider that a break. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565 is the number. All right? Are you unproductive on that day? Do you get involved in pools? Right? Is Rick Neuheisel a friend of yours? I mean, our number is 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. The numbers to call. Come on, join in. Join the party. We're partying here at the old Station of Champions today. We're here at the Chateau, and the Chateau is geared.
I think your poll's up, by the way. I just think there's a misspelling there. We may have to fix that. But your poll is available now.
A misspelling?
Yes.
Let's see.
So go ahead and proof that for me.
I almost tweeted the other day.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
What pray tell, would you have tweeted? It had to be. I mean, I can't imagine anything that you would tweet.
Well, you know what? You want to know the reason why I couldn't tweet?
Because you couldn't figure out how to log in?
I don't have the password.
Yeah, that's right. No, you do. I emailed that to you. Can't use that as an excuse.
No, I can't find it. I don't have it.
Well, now that's
because most of your stuff I just delete.
Right. That's what I was just going to say. If you would stop hitting the delete button every time my name comes up on an email, you'd have all this stuff.
I actually was going to tweet something the other day. I went to do it and couldn't do it.
Well, I'll fix that problem.
Because I don't have the password.
No, I can fix that problem.
I need the password. What's the other thing I don't have the password for? Well, I don't have my password for my email.
That's a whole other issue right there.
Well, no, what happens is people say, well, gee, you answer my emails. I do because you forward the emails.
That's right.
To my regular account.
Well, if they go to you directly, then we don't see them, then we can't actually, you know, have them on the show. So we have a special email account that the emails go to, and then you and I kind of discuss it and email back and forth, and then we have it on the program.
Exactly. But I went to tweet something the other day, and I couldn't get into the account.
Okay. What were you going to tweet?
Well, it's past now.
I'm going to make sure you don't have this problem forever now. You will never have this problem again.
I mean, I was all set to go. I mean, it was a good one, too. It was insightful.
Sure it was.
It was whatever makes Twitter special, you were going to have.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Unfortunately for me, I called Jay Paterno earlier. He's calling me back.
I wonder what that buzzing sound was.
That's
in the background.
It's Jay. So we'll take a commercial break. I'll be back after this on WKOK.
Steve's got to answer his phone. He'll be back.
Hyundai, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is going to make the month of March Sunbury Motors Hyundai Month. During the month of March, test drive any new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai, and you'll receive a $15 Brewers Outlet gift card. Why should you test drive a new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai? Well, listen to these awards. The 2012 Hyundai Sonata is the winner of Lowest Cost of Ownership by Kelley Blue Book. And the 2012 Hyundai Elantra was named Best Car Under $20,000 by AOL.auto.com. Every new Hyundai comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And every Hyundai purchased at Sunbury Motors Hyundai receives an additional set of tires. If you're looking for a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, or at sunburymotors.com.
This is Hollywood, where you can celebrate the luck of the Irish Saturday, March 17th at Hollywood on the Roof with $2 corned beef sandwiches and $2 draft beer from 5 to 8 p.m. Plus a live performance with Smooth Like Clyde starting at 8 p.m. Playing all your favorites from the 60s through today, including authentic Celtic songs in honor of St. Patrick's Day. It's all at Hollywood, where the stage is set and the whole cast is here. From the crowd-pleasing chefs in the kitchen to the movers and shakers on the dance floor. From the dealers directing the action to the blockbuster winners and breakout stars. Here, you've got the lead role, because there's no place like Hollywood Casino. Just minutes from Harrisburg and Hershey. Take I-81 to exit 80. Must be 21 or older to enter the casino or attend concert. Gambling problem? Call 1-877-565-2112 for help.
Quality, not quantity. It's a critical component of improving health care. I'm Dr. Glenn Steele, President and CEO of Geisinger Health System. The great dilemma in healthcare today is that providers often get paid for the quantity of their services, not the quality of their work. To solve this problem, we need to readdress how we pay for healthcare. One solution is to package services and make providers accountable. For example, if you need surgery, you would pay one flat fee for doctor visits, hospitalization, and beyond. If you have complications, the providers would cover the cost. As a result, they're going to take every step possible to assure a good outcome. By holding providers accountable, patients ultimately receive higher quality, more cost-effective care. But healthcare reform is about more than changing how we pay for care. It's about changing the way that care is delivered. A healthier America is within reach. For Geisinger Health System, I'm Dr. Glenn Steele.
Weekdays from 10 a.m. till noon, join Dan Patrick on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
That's something you got to think about. Who would play you in a movie?
Jason Bateman. Not that I had that answer ready.
And you're about what? Are you 6'3", 6'4"?
Yeah, 6'3".
I'm not sure what he is, but most actors you see on television, you think they're 6 foot and they're like 5'6".
They're stumpy. Who would you, I'm thinking?
Dude.
For you. Jason Statham.
Statham, that's what I was going to say.
Right.
Dan will talk all things sports and more. Dan Patrick, weekdays 10 till noon and again from 7 to 10 p.m. Only on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I talked to Jay about coming over here to the Sunbury Motors Studio, aka the Chateau. Did talk to him about that. And he said that he could not wait to talk to Kevin Herr.
I'm sure that's on the list of things to do.
Well, he said something about his bucket list. I don't know what that meant. Show being brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at purdyinsurance.com.
your favorite college basketball analyst now is ready to go. Clark Kellogg, right. Dick Vitale, Dick Girardi, Bill Rafferty, Digger Phelps, and Jay.
Digger Phelps.
You got to put Digger on that list.
Digger Phelps.
I didn't say he'd win, but you have to put him on the list.
Digger Phelps. Really?
Well, you know, don't vote for him, and then you'll have the results all taken care of. Now, here's the next question for you. You ready for this? Shifting out of basketball quickly. The Redskins making the move to get the number two pick. They gave up a number six pick, second round, two future first round picks, all to get RG3. Good, bad, or is it just okay?
Can't win unless you have a franchise quarterback.
That's true.
Okay. Trumps all other positions. Can't do it. Right? Okay. When you have a good quarterback, and Joe Flacco's a good quarterback, he's a good NFL quarterback, but he's not a franchise NFL quarterback. Okay. How far do the Ravens go with a combination of that running game and that defense if they have a franchise quarterback? If Brady or Manning is on that team, and again, I say that, please, with all due respect.
You realize Sarah Bartlett right now is livid because you're trashing her quarterback.
I'm not trashing her quarterback. I just said, did I say he's a bad quarterback?
No.
I said Joe Flacco is a good quarterback.
Okay.
And I said he's a good NFL quarterback. I said, but in order to win in the NFL for the vast majority of the time, you need an elite quarterback that makes the difference, that can swing a game here or there. The guy that has the ability in that fourth quarter to bring you back when you're down. I mean, look at the last Super Bowl winners, okay? This year it's Brady against Eli Manning in the Super Bowl, right? Last year it's Ben Roethlisberger against Aaron Rodgers, okay? The year before is that Roethlisberger and Kurt Warner?
See, that was that 40? No, 40, no. 40 was Detroit.
Yeah,
that was 43.
40. Right. Then Manning and Brady again. Then notice, it was Drew Brees. I'm sorry, it was Drew Brees and Peyton Manning. Okay, two elite quarterbacks again. Okay.
Well, you got a pattern here that works the way you're saying.
But that's the history of the game. Okay, Super Bowls one and two, it's Bart Starr. Super Bowl three, it's Joe Namath. Four is Lenny Dawson. Okay, these are the winners. Five. Okay. Earl Morrill, but John Unitas was the one. John Unitas started the game. Okay? Okay. Six is Roger Staubach. Seven is Bob Greasy. Eight is Bob Greasy. Nine is Terry Bradshaw. 10 is Terry Bradshaw. 11 is Ken Stabler. 12 is Roger Staubach. 13 is Terry Bradshaw. 14 is Terry Bradshaw. Okay? 15 is Jim Plunkett, first overall pick in the draft. He may have been the Patriots, but it was Plunkett in 15. 16 is Joe Montana. 17 is Joe Theismann. 18 is Jim Plunkett. 19 is Joe Montana. 20 is Jim McMahon, highly underrated. Just injuries just wrecked him up. 21 is Phil Simms. 22 is Doug Williams. 23 is Joe Montana. 24 is Joe Montana. 25 is Jeff Hostetler. Okay, all right. But 26 is that Jay Schrader in 26?
I'm going to have to go with you because I don't have it in front of me, and I need it in front of me. My memory's not
and
that
Mark,
good.
And there's Mark Rippon. Okay, not so. Okay, Mark Rippon, no. Okay, 27, 28 are both Troy Aikman. 29 is Steve Young. 30 is Troy Aikman. Okay, 31's Brett Favre. 32 and 33 are John Elway. Okay, 34 is Brad Johnson. Okay. 35 is Trent Dilfer. Okay. Right? Then with 36 is, I'm trying to think when does Brady start getting in here? Maybe in 36. Brady. It would be, you have Kurt Warner in there.
Let's see, Brady. You're looking at...
Brady would have been 37, I think. He was in Super Bowl 37, I thought. 36 Brady and 38 Brady.
I had to go back and learn my Roman numerals all over again.
Right. Okay. Then you get to 41. It's Roethlisberger, but he's young and doesn't play well. I mean, he didn't play well in that game.
No.
But then 42 is Manning. Yeah, 40 is...
40 was Roethlisberger.
40 is Roethlisberger. 41 is Peyton Manning.
There you go.
42 is Peyton Manning. Then 43 is Roethlisberger.
That's Roethlisberger again.
44, Drew Brees. 45, Aaron Rodgers. 46, Eli Manning.
And Roethlisberger was also in that one.
And tell me... Huh?
And Roethlisberger was also... But you're saying the winners.
I just named all the winning Super Bowl quarterbacks. Okay? Okay, the ones that won. Okay? So there are 46 of... They're all different, but 46 guys, right? Some of them are the same.
Correct.
Four Bradshaws, two Staubachs, two Greasys. Of the ones I named, there were only three of them where we sat back and went, I don't know.
Yeah, I would probably...
Actually, four of them, I would think.
Rippon, Dilfer, I wasn't,
Rippon, Dilfer, okay?
And I know he holds...
Brad Johnson.
And I know Doug Williams holds that record for points, but...
Well, Doug Williams, though, remember, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers made the playoffs and made the NFC Championship game with him as a quarterback.
Okay.
After starting out at 0-26, you've got to remember the cast of characters. Steve Young won Super Bowl 29. Steve Young is in the Hall of Fame. When Steve Young played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, nobody thought he was going to the Hall of Fame. All right? But you need an elite quarterback to get there. Okay? I think just to get there, you need an elite quarterback. And that's why you wonder why people want Peyton Manning so bad. They have hopes that he still is an elite quarterback.
Did you hear the latest news with Manning, though, that kind of surprised me a little bit? We were talking about him
did
going to Denver.
Did he tweet Sarah Bartlett?
No, he did not.
Okay. Should have.
He was going to, when he looked at Denver, Denver's discussing now, inside information coming out of Denver, is that Denver, if they get him, would trade Tebow, possibly to the Jags.
Tim Tebow has a long way to go. Okay? I think what he's done is fun. I think what he's done is exciting. I think he's a really good person. Okay? And he's only 2 years into being an NFL quarterback.
Sure.
Only 2 years. And not many jump in and after only 2 years are on a roll. But he has a long way to go before he even gives you the Joe Flacco feeling. Right, Sarah?
The Joe Flacco feeling.
We'll come back with more right after this on WKOK.
News Radio 1070 WKOK wants you to know about the people and organizations that help make the Susquehanna Valley a better place to live.
Celebrate Green Dragon Week with the Rapon Family McDonald's in Lewisburg and the Lewisburg Walmart. March 6th through the 12th, order any size Shamrock Shake, and they'll donate 25 cents for each shake to Lewisburg Sports Boosters. Also mark your calendars now for Green Dragon Pride Day, March 13th, at the Plaza 15 McDonald's restaurant. From 6 till 9 p.m., McDonald's will donate 10% of their proceeds to the Boosters.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents The Road Report. 10 minutes before the hour each weekday morning on WKOK. We'll talk about construction slow spots, and we'll let you know if the weather is going to affect driving. Before you hit the road, check out The Road Report at WKOK.com. Then, listen to News Radio 1070 WKOK to find out what you'll run into on the way to work. The Road Report is on WKOK and WKOK.com.
Next hour, Sarah Bartlett will debate Joe Flacco and the merits of him at quarterback.
there's no debate. There's no debate. Until
what do you mean?
Listen, this past year helped him a lot. It helped him a lot. The performance, mm-hmm. The performance in the championship game was the big thing for him. It's the first time that he's had a solid performance in a championship game. And as we've said many times, you can only throw it to the guy and put it in his breadbasket and right between the numbers and put it in his arms. He still has
no
to catch
question.
It. He still has to catch it.
No question.
But
no question.
One game doesn't do it.
But maybe that boosts his confidence.
Maybe. Maybe that's the difference.
Look, the game has slowed down for him. There's no doubt about it. Okay? And that's what he needs. At the same time, when you go into the game, what do you game plan for? Ray Rice. You want to put Joe Flacco in a position to throw the ball to win the game. If he beats you, he beats you. Okay? But you want to take away the running game. Okay? You go into the game against Eli Manning saying, no matter what happens, we have to control him. You go into the game against Peyton, against Tom Brady, you say to yourself, we need to control him. You go into the game against Aaron Rodgers, you need to control him. You go into the Ravens game, you want to stop Ray Rice first. And then roll the dice that you can control Flacco. You roll the dice.
But I agree with you. I think you need an elite quarterback to make the difference. The question is,
and that's why,
is RG3 Griffin worth that kind of money, that kind of those picks and everything like that?
Well, why don't we take a long look at the Redskins roster?
Okay.
At quarterback, what do you see?
There's room for a young quarterback in that system.
Yes, there is.
There's room for a young quarterback.
Worth every pick they gave up. Right? If he pans out, it's awesome. If it doesn't, okay. I think it's worth the risk. I think it's absolutely worth the risk.
I was surprised that the two future first-round picks were included in that. So there must have been a couple of teams that were really putting up a hefty price tag to get that pick from the Rams.
Nobody knows. There might not have been.
I mean, I can understand swapping picks. I can understand the second-round pick. Maybe a pick next year in the second round. But, wow, two future first-round picks. That's playing for long-term. There's no question about it. I mean, the Redskins have said now this is our quarterback, and this is our quarterback for a couple of years.
I know. But again, you don't know what other people bid.
True.
You want to know what you want, and believe me, the Redskins don't know what other people bid. Don't. Carl Crawford ended up with the Red Sox. All right? They way overpaid for Carl Crawford because then they found out later what the second bid was. Didn't have to go that high. Didn't have to go to $140 million. They went to $125, they had it. Because they're not going to reveal what they were offered by the other guys. That's part of, they're trying to get the most out of them. I mean, for all we know, somebody else is offering a one this year, a one next year, and a five. That's it.
Well,
that may have been all they were offered.
You know, and the point you make is, did the Redskins come out with this kind of offer knowing and feeling confident, I should say, not knowing, but feeling confident that nobody else would put up this kind of quote-unquote money for the deal to go through?
And that's something we don't know.
I mean, this, in my mind, is almost like Ditka. I'm trading everything away.
Well, he traded every pick for a running back, and you don't trade... You know what? You can get a good running back in rounds 3 through 7.
He just wanted to go play golf the rest of the weekend.
Uh-huh. But you can get a very good running back in rounds 3 through 7. Elite quarterbacks, I know Tom Brady was a 6. The other guys we just talked about weren't. Sarah Bartlett, top of the hour with more Joe Flacco news.